We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Senator, you've been a lonely voice in calling for legislative oversight of what went wrong with the state's disastrous investment in 38 studios. Do you plan to keep pushing for that in this legislative session?
I do. I don't think it'll be incumbent on me to really push for it. Senator Sheehan has been named the permanent chairman of the Oversight Commission. As you may recall, he expressed his specific intention in the Journal to hold oversight hearings on what happened at 38 Studios during the campaign. I fully expect him to honor that promise.
Let's go, Scott.
Why do you think he didn't do it earlier? Because it might have embarrassed some Democrats?
That might be an explanation. frankly, I don't know that it's limited to partisan blame either.
It was Governor Carcieri's deal.
Of course. This was just I think it was a bad idea all around. And, we can shed some more light on it.
We're moving toward 2014. And one area where Republicans have had some success in Rhode Island is in running elections for governor. Who would you like to see run for governor representing the Republican Party in 2014?
I think we have two excellent chief executives in the Republican stable right now with Mayor Fung and Mayor Avedisian. Both of them have successful tenures at the helm of two of our largest cities, so they would immediately jump to my mind as qualified candidates.
You know, you had some ideas about this education board cleavage that came in one of these last-minute legislative deals that have long afflicted Rhode Island. What do you propose?
If the legislature is making the determination that we must have a unified board, and we haven't really had a discussion of why that's necessary, but if we decide that's the way to go, the board as it's currently created in legislation is immediately going to be fully stood up and empowered. I would suggest that it be that if we create this new Board of Education, that we delay transferring all the authority to it until it has presented a plan for what this administrative structure is going to look like. The legislation as presently drafted is, it gives them the power and then says come up with a plan. I don't think we should leave Rhode Island that way anymore.
And what we're talking about is a vote by the General Assembly last year to combine the state boards of education for K-12 and public higher education. Did you have a follow-up there, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the mission is much different from K-12 and a board that governs URI, RIC, and CCRI. What really is the rationale for combining these things?
The stated rationale in the legislation is reduction of administrative expenses and duplication of effort. That's certainly something that I am receptive to as a fiscal conservative. But as you pointed out, I think we are looking at differing skill sets, differing areas of expertise. It is not a common practice in this country to have a unified authority governing both higher ed and elementary and secondary education. So that's why it would be really good to have the plan before we give them the power. That case, I think, will be made.
Senator, you're one of only 11 Republicans among the 113 lawmakers in the General Assembly. What do you know? What does Brian Newberry know? Both of you have had some electoral success as fiscal conservatives, social moderates. What do you guys know that other Republicans don't know in Rhode Island?
I don't know that other Republicans don't know this or haven't been able to communicate it, but I think both Leader Newberry and myself are results-oriented legislators. We are there with a recognition that you can compromise on policy without compromising on principle, that when you your challenge as a legislator, I don't care what party you are in the Senate, is to turn one vote into 18 or 19 votes. That's easier if you're in the controlling party, if you have the favor and the grace of leadership supporting you. But then other folks really appreciate our willingness as minority legislators to be the conscience of our chambers, to identify where we think we might be going in the wrong direction.
How do you think the Republican Party should focus its efforts going forward to try and build its representation in the General Assembly?
It starts and finishes on the legislative level with qualified and motivated and able individuals to step forward and run for office. It's a big time commitment when you don't have the infrastructure and support of the entrenched leadership around you. I'm talking about the all of the trappings of power that come with having an overwhelming dominance of the assembly and all of the personnel that come with that. So you I think, need those people that have the attributes of skill, leadership, ability, communications, and, frankly, some favorable demographics in their district.
You know, a lot of us have a lot of respect in the media for Representative Newberry. He's a well-spoken guy. He's a smart guy. However, I question how realistic he is with his proposal to just get rid of the sales tax, given that we have a deficit and given that this would mean huge cuts to such crucial programs as education. If you did this,
the workability of that proposal in our current circumstances, particularly with the current political makeup of the assembly, it's you know, the odds are it's not going to happen, you know, at least not in this term. It has its downsides. But what Leader Newberry did, which few people in the legislature dare to do, is mm-hmm. think big, think outside the box, looking for kickstarters to a different way of approaching our governance and how we operate the state. So, you know, I wouldn't criticize him for putting it in. I also wouldn't bet money that we're going to have no sales tax.
Wouldn't it be more realistic to work with something that Governor Chafee tried to do a couple of years back, which would be to lower the top sales tax rate to bring it under the Massachusetts rate of 6.25% and maybe extend it to some items that are not now taxed so that we'd have a greater competitive edge with Massachusetts, particularly for the stores and retail outlets that border Massachusetts from our state?
Politically, I think the biggest difficulty to that is taking away what existing competitive advantages those small niche areas of retail had. You know, when we add taxes to Rhode Island's a big tourism destination state, weddings, perhaps even same-sex marriage destination in the not-too-distant future. But we had an extra tax on wedding dresses last year. These are all value judgments we have to make in the big picture. There's merit to the governor's suggestion of lowering and broadening. I think most people felt it wasn't lowered enough, and the emphasis was on broadening.
Well, nobody wants to pay taxes.
You mentioned same-sex marriage, so let's go a little deeper on that. Your chamber, the Senate, is the real battleground on that issue. What do you expect to make the difference this year in terms of whether or not the Senate approves same-sex marriage?
It really will probably come down to the leadership that comes from the Senate president and the chairman of the Judiciary Committee.
How likely or unlikely do you think it is that the Senate would approve same-sex marriage but make that subject to a statewide vote?
That's something that I'll oppose vigorously. You do not subject the rights of the minority to a vote of the majority.
Just wondering, on same-sex marriage, what do you hear from constituents when you go door-to-door down in your district in North Kingstown?
Very little about same-sex marriage. I have pretty well-formed viewpoints on the issue. I believe very firmly that every American is entitled to equal protection of the laws. I don't come at this from the same perspective as some of the advocates like marriage equality. You may be familiar with my legislation in the last term, which you know, essentially created a civil union for all Rhode Islanders, because I look mm-hmm. at marriage in the context of government only as a collection of rights, benefits, and privileges. And when the government gives rights, benefits, and privileges to two individuals, they have to give them to any two individuals. So that essentially that civil union for all bill, you know, that it made absolute equality under the law, but kept the emotion and the profundity of the word marriage out of it. It left both sides wanting.
What are your priorities for this legislative session?
My priority is always going to be to make sound decisions consistent with economic growth and prosperity and being a thoughtful steward of our public resources. My value as a minority legislator, as you brought up before, really comes from my perspective, not from my legislative clout passing bills. For short-term impact, you know, my goal would be to reduce the burden of government on citizens and employers. That's an immediate ability to bring jobs. Long-term thinking is supporting public higher education. And I think we also need to look at creating an effective and expedient way to remediate the high volume of high school graduates in Rhode Island who aren't proficient to study CCRI entry-level courses. We don't need to pay to educate them twice. Long term, I want them to graduate without that remediation.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you, Ian.
And State Senator Dawson Hodgson, Republican of North Kingstown.
Great to be here.